It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
What I want to do is I want to go in the direction for a moment with Ukraine, because you know that fascinates me. And something has just happened with the feds, and I think it's important to note this. This thing with Ukraine in the United States is so important, what's going on geopolitically. I mean, this is probably the most important thing since World War II, I would guess, certainly internationally. And the United States Congress passed a $40 billion Ukraine aid package, 86-11. So it was certainly bipartisan. The president asked for $33 billion. Congress said, we're going to give you more, a lot more. Now, when's the last time that has happened? President submits a bill to Congress and sure, and we'll give you more money. That is how important this is. And that is the feelings run that deep. And throughout the entire world, I might add, when you look at what Russia did to Ukraine, how many countries you think are in favor of this? It ranges all the way from those in the Western alliance, the Western world, that are outraged, to those who have ties to Russia that are abstaining, just staying away from coming down hard on Russia or voting against Russia and the various international bodies, to how many people are in defense of Russia. I think North Korea, maybe Yemen, certainly Belarus, and that's it. So what Putin has done is he's taken Russia and made it a rogue nation with a rogue leader. And the U.S. Congress is coming down very, very hard. And why? Because this isn't just helping an ally. Because frankly, Ukraine is not that important to the United States. It really isn't. It's a small country. It's a relatively poor country. There was an issue politically for us with the request by President Trump to Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, dealing with Hunter Biden when he was associated with the gas, that oil company in Ukraine, Burisma, and he took $500,000 a year. And there was some scandal there, which is still going on. The investigation is still continuing with Hunter Biden. I think he's going to get nailed for this. But it's a relatively unimportant country until Russia decides to invade it and invade it proactively and for what most of us think is no reason, other than this idea that Putin has, he wants to go back to the Soviet era where Russia controlled that part of the world. And he thinks NATO, and I don't know if this is true in his thinking, but he's portraying NATO, which is defensive in nature, completely defensive in nature. It always has been from the very beginning. It's a defensive mechanism that's there to stop Russian aggression against the Western part of Europe. And Putin is portraying this as an offensive force that is there to destroy, invade Russia. And the Russian people are buying it because he controls the media. And so because of that, because it changes the world order, because it changes sort of the entire equation of that part of the world, man, this is a big deal. On top of that, it's a question of Ukraine being a democracy and Russia taking out a democracy unprovoked and is going to turn it into a puppet state or just simply annex it. And that's a very big deal to the Western world. I mean, we believe in democracy. We are democracies. And here is someone who is attacking a democracy. And if we don't do anything, then you know what ends up happening? Exactly what happened with the Crimea. Oh, no, we're not going to do anything. We'll just let it slide. Exactly what Hitler did in terms of the world at that time, as Hitler was invading and annexing Austria and then taking over Czechoslovakia in the 30s, nothing happened. And so this is preemptive. And it's a very big, big deal. It's such a big deal that $40 billion has been passed by Congress to give Ukraine military, humanitarian aid, nation building, infrastructure help. And you're not going to see the last of this. And the other thing is Zelensky said real quickly, President Zelensky said there's nothing left in the Donbas region. Nothing. Russia hasn't destroyed the entire region. And my question this morning was, if Russia wants it as to create a puppet government or annex it, and there's nothing there, what good is it? There's no infrastructure. Who's going to live there? Nobody. It's going to be a wasteland. It's going to be the desert. And they what do they want that area of the desert? A few hundred miles of rubble? Don't get it. A lot of people are going to be flying this summer. It's one of those things where the cost of airline flights are insanely expensive, yet people still do it. It's just one of those things that people have money, it's pent up, it's time to travel, and so what if it costs? Well, let me tell you something else that costs that you may jump on this. So, general rule, going to the airport, not fun. Really? This summer, it's going to be even less fun. So how do you make it less miserable and even a little bit quicker or a lot quicker? Well, welcome to America. Welcome to the market system. You pay. You fork up some money. And you know the normal ways of doing it. I'll tell you about that. But there's a couple of ways that you can fork up money. And I'll bet you didn't even know this is going to help you get through quicker, easier. So I think it's fair to say that going through that security line is probably the worst, if not among the worst. I mean, it's stressful. It's boring. You start talking to people next to you and find out that they're boring and you just want the hell out of there. It is no fun at all. However, there are options to cut down that time. Even jump to the front of the line. Or go to a different line that's shorter. But what happens? How do you do that? Well, you spend some money. That's what you do. Now, it's always been the case. There are all sorts of ways for people to pay to skip the line. You just pay extra money. The same thing going to on an airplane. You can skip the line, be first by paying more money. Then you're at the front. You know, first class goes first. You get better seats. You go to Southwest where they don't have first class, but you can buy the first to board, emergency seats, all of that. So it has gotten so bad. There are now business models that have been created to deal with this, and it's a real business. What happens at the airport? I mean, look at this. Travelers are split into different groups, haves and have-nots, literally what they're willing to pay. Not only in the security line, but at the gate and where they're going to sit on the plane, as I said. And according to one analysis done by an airport analysis firm, an airline analysis firm, depending on the day of the week or time, security wait times can stretch well over 30 minutes. Really? 30 minutes? Hey, that is lightning fast sometimes. I've been to the airport where it's 45 minutes or an hour. So how do you jump the line? Well, one of the ways, and I didn't even know this, and I'll bet you don't know this, you can actually book concierge services at the airport. Now, you pay hundreds of dollars for this, but you get an escort. And the escort picks you up and then takes you to the front of the line. And you go on to the plane. You go through the gate. You go through security. Hey, that's great. And you can make fun of the people that are waiting. Hey, how's that waiting for you, huh? Yeah, how's that working out? That's when they really like you. Now, the ways we all know about it, well, one of the ways you know about it is TSA PreCheck. That was launched in 2013, so we're going back 10 years. And you know how that works. It's an expedited screening program. You stand in a separate line. You get to keep your shoes on. You don't have to take your laptop out of your bag. The shoes thing I've always enjoyed. Because why do you take your shoes off? Because of one incident on an airplane. I don't know how many years ago. And I think the guy's name was Richard Reard. He was a... wannabe terrorist, but was an idiot. And he actually had explosives in his shoes and his underwear. And he stuck matches in his shoes, sticking out the soles of his shoes. And he was going to light the matches, and they were going to be basically a fuse burning down and igniting the explosives that he had wrapped around his feet. It failed miserably. It looked like a Daffy Duck cartoon is what it was. I mean, this was nothing real. And it failed, and it was stupid. And because of that one incident, everybody takes off their shoes. There hasn't been an incident like that since. One time it happened. I mean, that's pretty crazy. And then you have to open up your laptop. Take it out of the bag normally because, you know, explosives are in there. And I remember taking a camera. They want you to click the camera and they look at stuff and it's just gotten a little bit easier, but it's still a mess. So with pre-check, none of that happens. No shoes off. And theoretically, it goes much quicker, which it does. It's $85 to apply and it lasts for 5 years. All right, not bad. Then there is Clear. Clear is that company, the same one that you use for your vaccination proof, and identifies using biometrics. It's at about 40 airports. You go to a kiosk and you get your eyes or fingers or faces scanned, and then a Clear, quote, ambassador takes you to the front of the TSA line. Now, that's $180 a year, so it's a little pricier. So one of the travel experts who covers the industry says you got to get both to really do a good job. It's about $200 a year, which seems a little pricey unless you do a lot of traveling. Delta and United Airlines have already made investments in Clear, and it is just a better way of doing it. Here's the problem with TSA PreCheck. You don't want to tell people about it because that means more people are going to be applying for TSA PreCheck, which means that there are going to be more people in the TSA PreCheck line. I have been here at Burbank Airport flying into Las Vegas where the PreCheck line was longer than the normal line. And sometimes on the way back from Las Vegas, probably 75% of the time, there is no PSA pre-check line. They just close it down. So you get to go in the regular line. Isn't that worth all that money? But the bottom line is, if you've got the bucks, clearly, welcome to America, you're obviously going to be a lot better off. And even to the point of going to the front of that security line and having an escort take you. Boy, is that going to piss off everybody else in line. That's worth it just for that itself. Now, it's impossible for you to get fired, right? Well, yeah, actually it is. Right now, no one's firing. Everybody is hiring, and it doesn't matter how lousy you are. We've often seen people who have no business being in the job. We have coworkers, we have supervisors. Well, let me tell you, it's getting worse. It's getting worse for you if you do your job. It's getting worse for employers that have to hang on to people. And some jobs have always required almost no ability. You just sort of take up space. You have to be there. But now we're in the tightest labor market in 50 years, and a lot more people are just going through the motions. David Cancel, who runs a company called Drift, a marketing company, says you have to be incredibly lousy to get fired, even as a software engineer at the moment, like in his company and most companies. He says, like ours, keeping people you would never keep on a team in a better market. The standards would be a lot higher. And some economists are talking about a downturn coming up, but, you know, we're not looking at it anytime soon. Layoffs and firings in recent months, and now we're going to find out whether if the recession this changes. But right now, it is not. Well, the layoffs and firings have registered either at or near all-time lows. I mean, no one gets fired, and that's according to the Labor Department. It's about half of the norm. 50% of people that got fired before. And it's not all that easy to get fired in the first place. Most people who fire don't have a really good time doing it. It's hard. My business, my partner and I took turns. Karen and I took turns firing people. It was so uncomfortable. People that deserve to be fired. And then we cut a deal. We decided it was going to be every other one of us. In other words, it was going to be me one time. The next time we had to fire someone. Now, we were together for 30 years in this business. So, and we only had maybe, I don't know, six people, seven people that were fired. So we have a pretty good record. But we took turns because it was so miserable to fire someone. My turn, her turn, my turn. And she finally said, Bill, this is crazy. Let's do this together. We'll both be in the room and we'll do the firing. And I said, even though it's your turn, Karen, okay, I'll be there with you. And as we brought in this person who had completely destroyed our data system, I mean, it was just crazy, so deserved to be fired. I say hi, and Karen immediately stands up and goes, excuse me, I've got to make a phone call. And there I am talking to this young lady, and I had to fire her. And it's really uncomfortable. I mean, that you would think that I would kind of like firing people. In reality, and I'm going to get serious for a moment, it's really uncomfortable firing someone. So today you don't have to worry about it because no one's getting fired. And if you know you're not doing a great job, you're not up to it, your boss probably knows it too. I mean, that's kind of hard to hide. But since there's no one to replace you out there, and at least you know the job maybe, you're probably going to hang on. Because the cost of hiring somebody new is training, and it could be thousands of dollars. Whenever I hired someone new at the my surrogacy agency, it was months before they were up to speed. I had a very niche business. And it was fairly complicated dealing with so many moving parts. And when we fired someone, it was difficult. 2,000 managers that were surveyed by UKG. It's a human resources software company. Two-thirds of those that were surveyed said they'd be willing to rehire people they fired. 16% said they'd take back anyone, regardless of the skill, no matter what they did. They're so desperate. It's an interesting position. I've never seen this. And I'll tell you what else people are doing, what managers are doing. Okay, so you suck at this job and you deserve to be fired, but we're so low on staff, why don't we bring you over to this other position and see if that works out for you? Maybe you'll do a better job. Maybe it's a better fit. The national unemployment rate was almost 15% in April of 2020. That was early in the pandemic. Now let's move forward. 3.6%. Companies that boomed during the recovery overshot their growth plans. And now on the other side of this, they're laying off, depending on the industry. Was it Netflix just laid off people? 1,500 people, I think, or 150 people out of their employees. Carvana, the car selling company, said it's downsizing its staff by 12%. That's 2,000 positions. So it's a mixed bag. Mostly, though, mostly you can't get fired. Mostly no one's being laid off. We don't have anybody here being laid off. Because they've already laid off everybody that could be laid off. If you got a job, relax. Screw up. Don't do your work. Just sit back. Enjoy yourself. Watch video games. You're not getting fired. I want to end with a lawsuit. Boy, is this a fun lawsuit. God, I love these things. And that is a case that's brought up in front of the highest court in New York. And it was heard a couple of days ago on Wednesday, where the high court heard, of course, no decision yet because questions are asked, et cetera. The decision will come later. And the court had to consider about the living quarters of Happy, an elephant at the Bronx Zoo. Okay. It was brought by the Non-Human Rights Project. Uh-huh. What does that tell you? And they argued that Happy is an autonomous and cognitively complex animal entitled to the same right of protection against unlawful imprisonment that people have. Now, not arguing based on animal cruelty or arguing that elephants are, they have maternal instincts, they're so family-oriented, they should be together and not locked up in various parts of the zoo or not have a sanctuary with huge acreage. No, we're not arguing that. They're saying elephants are people and have the same rights of people. Now, it's been tried before with some chimpanzees who are clearly as intelligent as many friends that we have. Obviously, very complex creatures, obviously very herd-like, family connections. If you look at chimpanzees in the wild, there's a hierarchy. I mean, they're almost human. And there's been a lawsuit filed on their behalf saying they're people. Courts didn't go there. But the New York the highest court, which is the appeals court, although it's kind of weird because the appeals court is a lower court, and New York has some strange definitions of courts. And so effectively, the Non-Human Rights Project is arguing that Happy, the elephant, is being unlawfully imprisoned like a person would be. The zoo says Happy is well cared for, and holding her is not illegal. And she's held in a zoo like many elephants are held in zoos. She's one area. She's segregated from another elephant. And there's only two of them there. And they go up to the fence and their trunks go through and they hold trunks like we hold hands. And clearly, they would be much better off with other elephants. There's no question about it. And the argument's going to be, and I would buy this if I'm on the court, it's unfair to the elephants. They deserve to be in a place where there are herds, groups of elephants, where they have the social interaction because they desperately need it. That's what they're about. But the argument that they're people doesn't fly, because look at the slippery slope. If they're people, who else is people? What other animals are people under the law, with rights under the law? So they're taking it on the tack that we want these animals declared people. So they're spinning off in a direction, and I think they're going to lose, and Happy is not going to be happy. If they really wanted Happy to be a happy elephant, they would have simply argued, hey, it's just unfair. You know, this Happy deserves to be put into a sanctuary like other elephants. Matter of fact, the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus has just come back for a bunch of years. No elephants. Because that was considered cruel. Not elephants or people. No. They're elephants. And they're off to a sanctuary. There's two of them in the United States. One of the biggest ones, one of the two. I think the biggest one is in Florida. And that's exactly what they have, a bunch of acreage, and they run around. And it's Florida, so they're schwitzing like everybody else schwitz. And they have really thick skin, so they get hotter than most. In any case, in a hearing, the 7-member New York State Court of Appeals asked attorneys for both parties, let's talk about the definition of autonomy, because that was argued by the Non-Human Rights Project. Autonomy, a person who is autonomous onto himself or herself. And how can an elephant's liberty be achieved and the potential effects of a decision that Happy should be moved based on the fact that Happy has the same attributes as a person. By the way, this is not a new argument. It's been going on for a long time. And let's look at definitions. Prior to 1865, the end of the Civil War, enslaved people, African-Americans, were counted as three-fifths of a person to determine taxes and congressional seats. Corporations are considered people in some circumstances, like questions of political speech. Corporations are allowed to make political speech. Well, that's what people do. Another argument that the non-human organization, non-human rights organization calls for is elephant intelligence prove that they are people. They know when their bodies are in the way. That Happy is so autonomous and intelligent, she has the right to bodily liberty. She has the right to not be in jail without due process. And she has not been convicted of anything. She's an elephant. She's close or should be considered a person by law. And therefore, you have to let her go. I can just see that. There's Happy in the courtroom. The court rules, Happy, you're a person. Boom, case is over. Enjoy yourself. Walk out the door. Oh, yeah. This is great. And there is an indication of self-awareness. There's no question. You know, elephants have self-awareness. Elephants do mourn. We know that when an elephant in the herd dies. We know that. When a mother elephant loses her offspring, you know, you can see the mourning. But, you know, are they people? Are they people? The zoo says we're treating Happy compassionately. Has contact with one other elephant and has bonded with her zookeepers. See, this is where I disagree with the zoo. I truly believe that elephants should not be in a zoo. They should be in a sanctuary. That's why I love about the San Diego Animal Park or whatever the hell they call it, where you're in one of those trains locked up. Basically, you're captive and you're circling the animals in the park. That's my idea of a zoo. Anyway, we'll see what happens with this. But and Happy, you know how Happy got her name? One of the Seven Dwarfs, right from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs is how she was named. All right, we're done. Coming up, it's Gary and Shannon. I'm here tomorrow, Handle on the Law, 8 to 11 o'clock. Monday, we start all over again. Gary and Shannon up next. This is KFI AM 640 Live, everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.